Nice, very nice. Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Leviticus, chapter 6. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. And while you're turning there, I'd like to dismiss the children to Children's Church. So if you'd come right up here, Pastor Caleb and Miss McKenna are going to, well, they're just going to take you downstairs. No telling what's going to happen. All right, if you'd stand for the reading of God's word, please. Leviticus chapter 6. The text today is verse 12 and 13. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. The priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Pastor Tony as he brings this message today.
I like the start of a new year. It's brand new, and there are no mistakes in it. And anything can happen. We don't know what will happen in a year. I appreciated the song today. I love Beulah Land. It's a song about heaven and what it's going to be like when we get home someday. And I'm looking forward to getting home. I've got a lot of folks over on that side. One of these days we'll be together again. But before that happens, what can we do to make sure that 2023 we end better than when we started? We don't know what we're going to face this year. We don't know the goodbyes that we'll say or the trials that we'll go through or what exactly is going to happen to us. So I want to speak this morning on keeping a hot heart for God. I think the key to doing well this year is that we stay close to the Lord. Now, our passage here is an interesting passage. When the tabernacle was built, the altar was built, the first time the fire came from God, and the priests and the Levites were told they were to keep that fire burning all the time. They had to keep feeding wood to make sure that that fire didn't go out on the altar. And I guess what I want to speak about today is that we keep the fire burning in our hearts. We keep close to the Lord Jesus and we keep excited about the things of God because there are so many things that can change that. Francis Havergal is a great poet and many of our hymns were written by her. But I want you to listen to this poem that she wrote. Another year is dawning. Dear Father, let it be. In working or waiting, another year with Thee. Another year of progress. Another year of praise. Another year of proving Thy presence all the days. Another year of mercies, of faithfulness and grace. Another year of gladness, the glory of Thy face. Another year of leaning upon Thy loving breast. Another year of trusting, of quiet and happy rest. Another year of service, of witness for Thy love. Another year of training for holier work above. Another year is dawning, dear Father, let it be. On earth or else in heaven, another year for Thee. So another year is dawning. What will we do with this year that's before us? G.K. Chesterton was an English author, and he wrote this, quote, "The object of the new year is not that we should have a new year. It is that we should have a new soul, a new nose, new feet, a new backbone, new ears, new eyes, unless a man made New Year's resolutions, he would make no resolutions. Unless a man starts afresh about things, he will certainly do nothing effective. Let's be effective this year. The beginning of the new year is a time when, in a certain sense, we can start afresh and about all things. It ought to be a time that we aim higher, reach further, and dream bigger, and believe stronger. The preacher, Henry Ward Beecher, said this, quote, "Every man should be born again on the first day of January. Start with a fresh page. Take up one more hole in the buckle if necessary, or let down one according to the circumstances. But on the 1st of January, let every man gird himself once more with his face to the front and take no interest in the things that were and are past." Some Christians live in the past. Past mistakes, past failures, past victories. Let's put those things behind and live for the Lord this year. In this coming year, I want that fire to keep burning in our hearts for the things of God and for our Savior. Why should we keep the fire burning in our hearts? I want to give you three thoughts today. Number one, we should keep the fire burning to keep us going. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9. The Bible says in Jeremiah 20, verse 9, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Jeremiah said, "I'm not going to preach anymore. Lord, it's just not worth it. All I get is a bunch of guff, and people don't appreciate it, and people get mad at me, and I'm just going to quit preaching." He's like the fellow that got up on a Sunday morning and his mother noticed that he wasn't getting ready for church. And she said, "Get up. It's time to go to church." And he said, "No, I don't want to go." And he buried his head back in his pillow. And she came back to the door and she said, "You've got to go." He said, "I'm not going to church, and I'll give you two reasons. Number one, nobody likes me. And number two, I don't like them." And his mother put her hands on her hip and snapped back, "Well, I'm going to give you two reasons you've got to go. Number one, you're 45 years old, and number two, you're the pastor." Jeremiah was ready to quit. And if you read that passage around Jeremiah chapter 20, you'll see a couple things. First of all, he had some difficult experience. It was a difficult experience. Jeremiah had been fearless and a faithful preacher. In chapter 19, we read how he entered into the house of the Lord and he brought a scathing message from God to the people. And in chapter 20, verses 1 and 2, Pashur, the chief captain of the temple guard, had Jeremiah beaten and put him in stocks. Matthew Henry says the word "smote" would seem to suggest that either Pashur had slapped him with his hand or with his staff of authority. The stocks is a Hebrew word that means twisted. It means that his body was twisted. His head and his two arms and his two legs were placed within the stocks. And it was very painful because his body had to be in a crooked posture to accept this form of punishment. And as we start this new year, none of us know what we're going to face. We don't know the difficulties that will be before us. We don't know the things that will be discouraging. I wish as a pastor I had a magic wand and I could wave it over the congregation and assure each and every one of you that this would be a good year. But I can't. I can't make that promise as much as I would like to. There are going to be difficulties that each and every one of us face. There are going to be things that are disagreeable and disheartening and disconcerting. But I'm here to tell you, if you're hot, your heart is hot. If you've got a burning heart towards the things of God, it'll get you through this year. You may face those things, just like Jeremiah did. things that God had called him to do, and Jeremiah didn't know why he was being punished. He was just doing what God called him to do. And yet he said the word of God was like a fire in his heart and in his bones, and he couldn't quit his job. Secondly, a discouraging, not only a difficult experience, but a discouraging experience. It's easy to understand why Jeremiah was discouraged. Even the strongest of Christians would be discouraged if they were physically persecuted. Good men are merely men at best. Charles Spurgeon said this, "Discouragement is very natural. It is a native of the soil of manhood." If you're a human being, there are things that will discourage you this year. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 7, "O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I'm in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me." Now, there's a couple things there. Jeremiah said that he was discouraged because he was in derision. It speaks of being mocked and laughed at, and people saying unkind things to him and about him. He speaks of how everyone made fun of him. Can you imagine him being in the stock and just standing there in that cramped and uncomfortable position? His arms and his legs through the stocks and his head through, and people coming by and making fun of him. "Oh, how's it going, prophet of God? You got a message you want us to hear? You've got something you want to say? What's your message now?" Can you imagine how discouraging? Can you put yourself for just a moment in his place? He was discouraged over that. And I don't know what you're going to face. I don't know what I'm going to face this year. I have a sneaking suspicion there are going to be some things that come into our lives that are discouraging this year. How do you keep on going? How do you do what Jeremiah did? You've got to have some fire in your soul. You've got to have a burning in your heart. Secondly, he was discouraged because of deception. He said, "O Lord, thou hast deceived me." God called him to preach to Israel, and this was just before the Babylonian captivity. There had already been deportations before this, but Israel was still rebelling against Nebuchadnezzar, and they had false prophets that were prophesying, "Oh, everything's going to be all right. This is the place of God's temple. Everything's going to be okay." And God said, "Jeremiah, those prophets are lying. Tell these people the truth, that I'm going to send the armies of Babylon against them." And Jeremiah preached exactly what God wanted him to preach, but it didn't go well. You know, God may call you to do some things this year that you don't like, and you may get some results that you don't like, but if you're doing what God wants you to do, understand God's still in control and God hasn't deceived you. Jeremiah had to learn that God knew what he was doing, even if Jeremiah didn't like what he was going through. The realities are that difficulties will be a part of our new year. 2023 will have some things that will be difficult and some things that will be discouraging. There may be some dark and depressing days, but I'm here to tell you how to get through 2023. And when you come to the end of it, you're still rejoicing in the Lord. You still have victory in your life. And that is, you've got to take care of your heart. In Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9, "But the word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones." Oh, this year I encourage you, be in God's word. But more important than you being in God's word, let God's word be in you. That means when you read it, you got to take some time with it. All my life, ever since I've been, even before I was called to preach, but especially since I called to preach, I seek to read through the scriptures. And I'll be honest with you, there are some books that are easier than other books. And one of the books that's been troublesome to me has been the book of Ezekiel. I read that stuff and I scratch my head and I say, "What?" But you know what I've done this year? Instead of trying to read through the Bible in 1 year, I've just been going back and reading those books that I haven't understood. And I've been taking my time. And I'll read a verse and sometimes I'll say, Lord, I have no idea what you're saying there. But I'd like to know. And I want to know. And you know what? I've got more. I just finished the book of Ezekiel about a week ago. And I've got more out of it. I'm going to go back in another month or so. I'm going to go back through the book of Ezekiel again. I'm just going to read it. You know why? Because I need to let the Word of God get in me. I need it to saturate my heart. Because I have no idea what difficulties I'll face this year. Here's a poem that I've always loved. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will. When the road you're trudging seems all uphill. When the funds are low and the debts are high and you want to smile, but all you can do is sigh. When care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't quit. Life is queer with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learn. And many a failure turns about when he might have won if he had just stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You might succeed with another blow. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. And when things seem worse, you must not quit. Keep on going. You know what will keep you going? A burning heart that's in love with Jesus Christ. A burning heart that the Word of God has inspired and encouraged. We need Jeremiah's burning heart. Though the cover is worn and the pages are torn, and though places bear traces of tears, yet more precious than gold is this book, worn and old, that can shatter and scatter my fears. This old book is my guide. 'Tis a friend by my side. It will lighten and brighten my way. And each promise I find soothes and gladdens the mind as I read it and heed it each day. To this book I will cling. Of its worth I will sing. Though great losses and crosses be mine. For I cannot despair, though surrounded by care, while possessing this blessing divine. Some of you are going to need the Word of God this year. You need more than just to get in the Word. You need to let the Word get in you this year, or you'll be overwhelmed. But there's a second key to keeping a hot heart. Not only does it help us with the difficulties and discouragement of life, it keeps us going, but secondly, it keeps us growing. In Psalm 39, verse 3, we find David saying, "My heart was hot within me while I was musing the fire burned." Jeremiah was not the only one with a burning heart or a hot heart. David had a hot heart. In David's burning heart, we're reminded that a burning heart keeps us growing. Most of us are older in our congregation. We've got some young folks, but I remember growing up, and I grew up in the country in northwest Indiana, and we had fields and forest, and I grew up in a little subdivision, but all the kids of the subdivision would play all day. I mean, we'd be up and out as soon as we'd eaten breakfast in the summer, and most of the time our mothers had to yell at us to get us to come in when it got dark at night, and we just played all day. And I'd play all day and then have to get my bath and get my pajamas, and I'd go to bed, and many times I'd be laying there, and all of a sudden, I'd wake up out of a sound sleep, and my leg would be going zzz, zzz, zzz. It was a leg ache, but my mom didn't call it a leg ache. You know what she called it? She said, "Oh, Tony, those are growing pains." Growing pains. And we remember in our childhood growing and getting taller and outgrowing our clothes and those growing pains. But as a Christian, spiritually, we cannot be satisfied and stop growing. I'm convinced of this. Many of the difficulties in life God sends is just to help us grow. To help us trust Him more and trust Him in different areas where we've always tried to keep our hands on it. We've always tried to keep it under control. And you know, we've just learned to muddle through in our own strength. And God says, all right, I want you to learn it. I'm going to give you something that you can't muddle through in your own strength. David wanted to grow. First of all, I want you to notice, David remembered his covenants. I ran across something a while back, and I made a copy of it. I gave a copy to Pastor Caleb, but Jonathan Edwards, the great American preacher that probably more than any other man was responsible for the first great awakening in the 1700s that brought a great revival across America. When he was 20 years old, he made a list of covenants that he made with God. They're resolutions, but they're more than that. Jonathan Edwards made with God. Here's resolution number three. Resolved, if ever I shall fall and grow dull, so as to neglect to keep any part of these resolutions, to repent of all I can remember when I come to myself. In a similar fashion, David had made covenants or resolutions to God. And in Psalm 39, he recalled those resolutions. Look at verse 1. He said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle, even the wicked, while the wicked is before me. David had made certain resolutions or covenants. He resolved to take heed of his ways. Two, he resolved not to sin with his tongue. Three, he resolved to bridle his mouth. Now, I know most of you don't see this into me, but as a young person, I was very mouthy. And I'm so glad that I'm sitting in a congregation, or standing in a congregation, nobody ever had those problems but me. Matter of fact, when I turned 17, I realized that most of the trouble I was in was mostly my mouth. If I could just learn to shut my mouth. It's been an ongoing battle. I'm 65 and it's still there. But David said, I'm going to keep my mouth. Lord, set a bridle in my mouth. Help me to be careful what I say. The new year is synonymous with resolutions. According to strata.com, the number one resolution for Americans in 2013 is to exercise more. The second is to eat healthier. And the third is to lose weight. Now, there's nothing wrong with resolutions. And I think spiritual resolutions are good. But as Christians, we ought to make a covenant with God about spiritual things. Let me give you a short list of spiritual covenants you can make this year that will help you to come out of 2023 better than what you went in. How about covenant that you'll pray regularly? How about covenant that you will read the Bible and really seek to understand it? How about covenant to tithe? How about a covenant to be faithful to church attendance? How about a covenant to witness and tell others about Christ? How about a covenant to work energetically? How about a covenant to spend more time with your loved ones and not be so busy with work that you neglect those that need you the most? How about a covenant of learning to walk a holy life? I mentioned Jonathan Edwards. Let me give you a couple more of his resolutions. Resolution 6, resolve to live all my might while I do live. How many of us don't live with all our might? We just kind of muddle through. Resolution number 7, resolve never to do anything which I should be afraid to do if it were my last hour on earth. Those would make pretty good spiritual resolutions, don't you think? David not only remembered his covenant, but notice he renews his covenant. Now what brought about this? In Psalm 39:2, he says, I was dumb with silence. I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. It would seem that he had become a little laxed in keeping his covenants. And he made certain covenants, but like all of us, they'd been kind of shoved to the back burner of life. He had been silent. I was dumb with silence. He was slothful. I held my peace. Now, what brought about this renewal of the covenants? It was a burning heart. It was a hot heart for God. He said in verse 3, my heart was hot within me. His heart had been growing cold, but now it was red hot. His burning heart brought a personal revival and renewal to keep his covenants with God. Whereas his spiritual life had been stale, now he was passionate about living for God. In verse 2, he was dumb with silence, but in verse 3, then spake I with my tongue. His burning heart brought renewal. My old pastor is with the Lord when I was a teenager. I remember this. He used to say, Tony, the tongue is an index of the heart. What comes out of the mouth is what's in the heart. We say, oh, I didn't mean to say that. No, the tongue is attached to the heart. What was in the heart came out. We need to have those kind of covenants that we guard those things and we keep those things. How do you do it? You have a burning heart. There's no substitute for a powerful relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There are some here who at one time you were passionate about the things of the Lord, but now complacency has taken over. How about getting that heart right with the Lord? How about spending time in His Word instead of just reading it as something you can check off in your Bible reading guide? How about reading it like a love letter? I remember when Karen wrote me love letters. If you want to see... No, never mind. Let me tell you something. I didn't just kind of... Let me tell you, I read every word. Sometimes I read them twice. Sometimes I went back three times. How about reading our Bible and getting that old hot heart again for the things of the Lord? My time's come and gone, but let me just give you the last one. I'll just tell you what it is, because I want you to know, to keep us glowing. I love Luke chapter 24. I preach a message on it called Heavenly Heartburn. Two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Jesus has been crucified. He's been buried. And word has spread across Jerusalem that the tomb was empty. And a couple of fellows are walking down to Emmaus. They're sad and they're discouraged. All their dreams had not come about the way they planned them. And all of a sudden, Jesus walks up. And he begins to talk to them. He said, fellas, why are you so sad? What's going on? And Jesus begins to speak to them. And the Bible says he began to open the Scriptures to them. He went back to the Old Testament Scriptures and he showed them that Messiah was not just going to be a king, but he was going to be the suffering servant before he was the sovereign. And you know what? You know what they said? Jesus came in with them when they got to their home and sat down. And when it was time to break bed, he prayed. And their eyes had been holden. They did not recognize him. And when he prayed, they instantly recognized him. And the Bible says he disappeared out of their sight. And you know what they said? Did not our hearts burn within us when he opened the Scriptures unto us? Their saddened hearts turned into glad hearts. You know how we can make it through 2023 regardless of what happens? We can get our hearts hot about the things of God. We can let the Word of God light a fire in our souls about the Lord and about Him, and realize that it's not about us, it's about Him. And we have an opportunity to glorify Him this year. And you know, I've learned this about a relationship with the Lord. The more you put into it, God will not be outgiven. The more you put Him first in your life, the more He'll bless you in your life. And before you know it, we won't have to beg you to go to witnessing class. You'll be telling everybody at Lazy S7 or Black Bear or Pizza Hut or P6. You'll be telling people about the Lord. You know why? Because you've got a hot heart. But we want to help you to know how to do it. Let's get a hot heart for the Lord this year. Father, I thank you for your people. Lord, there's a lot of things that can discourage us and get us down, and
Lord, we need you. We need to be in your word, and we need to be talking to you, and we need to be listening to you when you speak to our souls. And Lord, we need wisdom that we don't have, that you have, and we need power to go on when things are difficult. Lord, we need that hot heart. We need a burning heart that's excited about the things of the Lord. Would you make 2023 the year that everyone at First Baptist Church has a hot heart for the Lord? Oh, Lord, may we fall deeper in love with your Son this year than we've ever been. May we be more interested in glorifying him than getting what we want. Lord, speak to us. Change us. We ask these things in Jesus' name.